Do you realize we're already halfway through 2014? Remember our theme for this year at CCV? It was entitled, The Power of One. Every one of us can make the difference in one person's life. And so I hope that you're praying for your coworkers and your neighbors, and you're building relationships with them. Mark begins a brand new series today entitled At the Movies. And this would be a great series to invite your friends and family and coworkers to come and join you on one of our campuses. Let's welcome Mark as he comes today to begin this series.
Thank you. I suppose that when a lot of us think about a preacher talking about Hollywood, we expect him to say something like this: Brethren, beware of those godless heathen in Hollywood. They'll lead you astray with their pagan propaganda. Amen. I don't believe that. Now, I know that obviously the movies are rated for a reason. Use discretion, right? But here's what I believe. That God has put his DNA in all of us, and often parts of God leak out in the work that we produce. So when a Hollywood producer makes a movie, when he tells his story, there's a good chance that a little bit of God is imprinted into the storyline. In fact, I think that that happens more often than not. Are you skeptical? Well, good, because that will make the next 4 weeks more interesting. We're going to look at four feature films that deal with four critical issues of how a Christian should think and live their life. The first issue is morality. Now, the Bible says that there is actual, real right and wrong, and the definition comes from God. He gives us laws to live by, not so that he can limit our freedom, but so he can liberate us to be all that we can be as individuals, as families, and as communities. That's God's intention. The world doesn't believe that about morality. You'll get several opinions about what morality is in the world. One of the things the world says is there's not right and wrong, there's strong and weak. And basically, the person with the biggest budget or the biggest bicep, they get to decide what's right. Isn't that what Darwin taught us? Survival of the fittest. Now, other people say, no, it has to be put to a vote. We live in a democracy. So right is what everyone agrees on. It's popular opinion. God help us. Popular opinion would say, look, we get to vote laws in, and what the law says, that's what's moral to do. Others, more recently, have said, no, it's not what the populace thinks, it's what I feel. That's what makes it right. Does it feel good to me? Does it feel right to me? And a Christian comes back and says, you know what? God said it. That's what makes it right or wrong. And we're going to look at a movie that deals with morality. 4th of July weekend. We're celebrating the birth of our country and all of the freedom that we enjoy from the men and women who sacrificed so much. How could we not look at Captain America? It's a no-brainer, right? Now, if you don't know about Captain America, it's a simple story. You got a 98-pound weakling with a really good heart. And he wants to go back in World War II and fight the evils overtaking Europe. But he's rejected by the army because, frankly, he's a physical liability. But he runs into this doctor named Dr. Erskine, who has a formula that can make him into a super soldier. So he gets injected with it, but the movie, of course, needs a villain. Dun, dun, dun. This villain is a guy by the name of Johann Schmidt. Johann Schmidt, translated from German, is John Smith. In other words, he represents every man. Johann Schmidt, years earlier, had gotten a hold of Erskine's formula. It wasn't quite ready yet, but he injected it into himself. Terrible side effects, but he became a very powerful monster. And Johann Schmidt will eventually meet Captain America. Now that's the plot. What's interesting about this particular film is it was produced by Joe Johnson. Joe Johnson is famous for his popcorn flicks, feel-good movies, just good old-fashioned fun for your family. He made movies like Hidalgo and Jumanji and Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. You don't expect a great moral lesson to come out of one of Joe Johnson's films, but I contend that it does. In fact, I want to lift four specific ideas that come out of his movie that teach Christians how they ought to think and live about morality. Here's the first lesson from the movie. Morality is exposed by power. Now, often we think about morality as personal morality, private morality. It's what I do myself, or more specifically, what I don't do. I don't get drunk. I don't sleep around. I don't extort money. That makes me a good person. But the Bible's pretty clear. Morality is not merely what you don't do. Morality is what you do. It's using the power that God has put in your control for the benefit of the powerless. Now look, if God has given you any power as a single mom, as a school teacher, as a coach, as a politician, all power that God gives to you is so that you will use it for the powerless. Up to Jesus Christ, there was no politician in the history of the world that actually lived like that. Jesus showed us a new and better way. And it's modeled right here for us in this movie, Captain America. I want to show you a clip that kind of sets the tone for this issue of power, of morality being exposed by power. Steve Rogers is still a 98-pound weakling. He has tried yet again to enlist in the Army. They've caught him yet again. But Dr. Erskine meets him and explains why he will be chosen for this science experiment. A key line from that clip is when Rogers says, "I don't want to kill anybody. I don't like bullies. I don't care where they're from." What he's showing is that he has the right heart to receive the great power that Dr. Erskine is capable of giving him. I think that's all of us, really? I mean, don't you hate bullies? It doesn't matter where you find them. You find bullies on the playground, don't like them there. Call them terrorists on foreign soil, don't like them there. You find these governmental oppression, I don't like it there. Violence in inner cities. We don't like bullies. I think that's why Taylor Swift's song, Mean, sold over 2 million copies. We just don't like mean people, but we don't feel like there's much we can do about it. Boy, if I just had more power, if I just had an army, if I were just really strong, boy, I would take care of some of the bullies around me. Here's the lesson from Captain America and the lesson of the Bible. God doesn't need your strength. He needs your heart. That's why in the Old Testament, when God was looking for the right king, not Saul, the right king, he found a man, say it with me if you know the passage, a man after God's own heart. It was King David. And God, I think, on each of our campuses right now is scouring the auditorium, looking for the people with the right heart. Because like Dr. Erskine, he does have a formula to make you immensely powerful. It doesn't come in a test tube. It's deeper than that. It goes down to your very spirit, where the Holy Spirit of God can empower you with all the power you need to win all the battles you come across for all the enemies that you'll face. God does have power to make you strong, but not if you don't have the right heart. And that's why he's looking for people who will simply do what he commanded you to do. Micah chapter 6, verse 8, it reads this way, "He's shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." And when God finds a person with this kind of a heart, he can give them all the power that they need to destroy their enemies. Now that leads to the second observation from Captain America, is this: morality is revealed by reflex. What you do when you don't have time to think is who you really are. I'm going to give you three dates, and I want you to play the clip in your own brain from those three dates. You have a video ready to roll. Here's the first date, 9/11, 2001. Can you see it? Crowds are running away from these buildings that are burning. Smoke is pillowing, and yet there are a few brave souls that are running into the danger, not out of the danger. What makes a hero do that? Second date, 4/15/2013. April the 15th in Boston. You recall? A bomb went off at the finish line of the marathon, and most people scattered in the mayhem, but there were a few who ran toward the danger to rescue those who could not help themselves. June 30th, 2013. This week was the one-year anniversary of the Yarnell fire, where 19 brave souls lost their lives running into danger to help those who were in the path of danger. What makes people do that? It's the hero's heart that does that. And I want to show this clip. It's when Steve Rogers is still a pipsqueak. He's still like 98 pounds and an asthmatic, but he's now in the Army, and he's failing at everything. He is always behind when they run. He can't keep up with the push-ups, and his commanding officer, Colonel Phillips, doesn't like him one bit. And Phillips and Erskine get in this argument about why Rogers needs to either go or stay. Watch how their argument unfolds. Is this a test? Yes, it is. I wonder if there's a test that we could give you right now to know if you would be the one to jump on a grenade to save your platoon. Actually, there is. I want to offer you three questions as a test for your character. No one's going to know the answers but you, because they're questions about your heart. Question number one, what do you do when no one is looking? If we were to go through the receipts of your last business trip out of town, when you're away from friends and family, would we be shocked at what you spent money on? If we were to put up a surveillance camera in your home when nobody else was there, would we be embarrassed by what we see? Question number two, what do you do when you don't have time to think? When someone swerves in front of you on the freeway? When the policeman knocks at your door? When a lawyer hands you those papers? When you hear these words, I don't want to be with you anymore, what's the first thing that goes through your mind? What's the first reaction that comes out of your heart? See, that's who you really are. Question number three, what do you do when someone can't repay you? Obviously, we treat different people differently, but we shouldn't treat different people with different respect. They're all made in the image of God, agreed? Do you treat a child at the mall any differently than a movie star that you might meet there? Do you treat differently the man who just got out of prison from the man who might employ you in an interview? Do they get more respect? See, the answer to these three questions tells what kind of heart you have. And the reason these three questions are so important is because they're the foundation of the third lesson from Captain America. Here's the third lesson. Morality is amplified by might. Now, there's this scene I want to describe for you. Right after he jumped on that grenade, camera goes dark, lights come up. Dr. Erskine is sitting face to face with Stephen Rogers in the barracks. They're both on a bunk. And Rogers asks him this question, why me? Dr. Erskine, I guess that's the only question that matters. And he begins to describe earlier in his life how he was a colleague of Johann Schmidt, who took his formula before it was ready, and as Dr. Erskine says, what is more important, that not only was the formula not ready, the man wasn't ready. And he begins to explain about the formula, what is always true about power. When you take this serum and you put it into a man, it will make him strong. but it will amplify whatever character is in his heart. And Erskine says, if he is a good man, it will make him great. If he's a bad man, it will make him worse. That is the same with truth and power. Power always amplifies. We have heard that power corrupts. That's not precisely true. Power only amplifies what is already there. And if you're a good man and you get power, you'll be a great man. If you're a bad person and you get power, you will be a worse person. So the athlete that cheats on the field, if he gets to be a coach, will cheat with the whole team. The employee who steals pencils is going to embezzle when he's the boss. If someone is a liar as a citizen, they're going to be a terrible politician. Power amplifies what is already there. This is the theme that runs throughout Captain America, not only the 2011 version, but the 2014 version. Have you seen that still in some theaters? Spoiler alert, Captain America wins. I'm going to make a prediction here. When the third movie in the trilogy comes out, scheduled for 2016, May, hold your breath, I bet you this is the same idea, that morality is amplified by power. And this is why that's so important. Once we get a little bit of power, we tend to play God. That's the root of all the sin that we commit. In fact, that's why God tore down the Tower of Babel. It goes clear back to the Garden of Eden. If you could play that scene on the screen, it would certainly be PG-13 or more. Eve still naked and unashamed. She's standing before the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and there in the tree is a talking snake. We call him Satan. And it begins to tempt Eve to take a bite of the forbidden fruit. He says, oh, isn't it beautiful? And that doesn't move her. He says, oh, it's good for food. That doesn't move her. I want to show you a passage from the Bible of what really moved Eve and what really moves you and me to sin. Here it is, Genesis 3. You will not surely die, says the serpent. He said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be, here's the deal, you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And that seduced Eve to taste the fruit. And that is what seduces us. It's not power that corrupts. Power only amplifies the corruption that is in us to be like God. That leads us to the fourth lesson. Morality is won by spiritual forces. I know there's a lot of social issues that get bantered about in the news. All of them, if you scratch thinly beneath the surface, are spiritual battles going on between God and the devil. Whether you're talking about the drug war, trying to overcome the cartels, embezzlement at Wall Street, immigration reform, marijuana legalization, gun control, whatever issue you want to put on the table, it really is a spiritual battle where the devil is trying to conquer God's prized possession. That's you and me. Now, you might be thinking, I watched Captain America. I don't ever remember seeing the devil. Oh, he's there. I don't ever remember seeing hell. Oh, it's there. In fact, I want to show you this clip, and as soon as I show you, there will be hell below you and the devil before you. You'll go, how could I have missed that? Warning, if you chose to bring a preteen to the adult service, you might want to distract them for the next minute and a half. It gets scary. There's a key sentence at the end of this clip where he's walking through that door and he's leaving and he says, I embrace it without fear. And Captain America says, then why are you running? What you need to know about this spiritual battle is that the devil is on the run. Look, I've already read the last book in the Bible, Revelation. It's pretty confusing if you're looking for a calendar, but the basic storyline is simple. We win. And the devil knows that. He is on the run. And we have the power, if we but open our eyes, to conquer him in this battle. If you know what you're looking for, it's pretty easy to see hell and the devil, isn't it? It's all around us. I'm not talking about the movie anymore. I'm talking about real life. You see, the devil is using schemes that I bet if you were the devil, you'd use the same schemes. It's not that hard to pick up on once you know what you're looking for. If I were the devil, you know what I would do? I would first attack marriage, because that is the place where right and wrong is really taught to children for the rest of their lives. In fact, if I were the devil, I would redefine marriage completely so that it lost all sense of its historicity, all sense of its tradition, of its honor, of its dignity. Boy, if I were the devil, I would make sure that every man and every teenage boy had porn in his palm, so that every woman, every potential mother, and every potential wife would be degraded to an object rather than a person. If I were the devil, I would make sure that every one of you was distracted by entertainment from the moment you woke up until the time you put your eyes to rest at night. I would make sure that you had billboards screaming at you, screens flashing at you, and music buzzing through your brain so you would never notice what I was doing all around you. If I were the devil, I would make sure that Bible and prayer were removed from schools so that children could not be taught that there is right and there is wrong. If I were the devil, I would use my bully pulpit from politics to the university classroom to make sure that we redefined morality not as what's right, but what's convenient, what feels good to you. And any preacher that had the audacity to say that there is absolute right and wrong, I would label him pretty brutally as an indiscriminate, intolerant bigot. That's what I would do if I were the devil. Can you see it all around you? What the devil is doing is obvious once you know what you're looking for. And here's the deal. With the whole movie, don't miss this. You got to see this. The whole movie of Captain America points out that the battle is won or lost before you ever set foot on the field. It was his heart that made him the champion and the hero. It wasn't his muscles. It wasn't his strength. And that's going to be the same with you. You're going to face some things in your life that are difficult. Some of you right now are going through those, and you're finding that if your heart is weak, it doesn't matter how much power you have. You can't survive a full frontal attack of the devil without the power of God. Here's the takeaway then. What small battle do you need to win today so that you can face your ultimate enemy someday? Look, I think all of us in each of our campuses, we probably have a moral issue that we've been a little bit loose with. Because we feel like that 98-pound weakling, it doesn't really matter what I do. I'm not in a huge battle. It's not going to make a difference for the end of the world. I can't be a hero. Not with that heart, you can't. If you are lax with, you pick the moral issue. Lust? Greed? Gluttony, anger management. If you are lax in the things that seem to matter a little, it will put a crack in your heart that your enemy will exploit when the battle gets fierce. I love this quote. I want to read it to you here. I go look at a stone cutter hammering away at his rock, perhaps 100 times without so much as a crack showing in it. Yet at the 101st blow, it will split in two, and I know it was not that blow that did it, but all that had gone before. Jacob Riis. I'd never heard of this guy before. The reason I ran across this quote is because of Greg Popovich. This is his favorite quote. If you don't know who Greg Popovich is, he is the coach of the world-winning champion San Antonio Spurs basketball team. This is his motto for his team. He drills this into them because what he knows is championships are not won in the postseason, they're won in the preseason. And if you are strong in the drills, if you're strong when lights are not on you, then you can win the battle when they are. And that's the same thing with you. That's why we're asking, remember the takeaway, what small battle do you need to win today so that you can face your ultimate enemy someday. What is it for you that you would say, I need to win this small battle so that I can stand against my enemy? I want to describe one last scene in the movie. It's toward the very beginning, actually, where Stephen Rogers is in a movie theater and there's a bully spouting off, and Rogers stands up to him. And for his effort, he gets taken out in the alley and just beat to the ground. He gets back up, he's knocked down again. He gets back up, beat to the ground. Finally, he beats him in a pile of trash unconscious, and the bully says, "Don't you ever give up." And Rogers opens up his eyes. He looks at the bully and says, "I could do this all day." That's my prayer for you. That because you get your moral heart right now, that you could face your ultimate enemy someday. And when he beats you down and beats you down, maybe it's a marriage, you get beaten down. Maybe it's at work, you get beaten down. Perhaps it's with some health, you get beaten down, and you can look your enemy square in the eye and say, I could do this all day. Let's pray. Holy Father, we do ask for you to give us strength through your Holy Spirit. But we also pledge to you a heart that is pure enough to receive it. And we promise, Lord, whatever power you give us, we will use for the benefit of the powerless. Lord, make us strong, not for our own benefit, but for the powerless around us. Lord, if you will change our hearts, if you will give us strength, we pledge to you, in honor, we will give you glory. In the name of Jesus, amen.